This is what happens when your base stays home and watches Tuesday night television instead of voting. And that's from Emily Palsrock from the Lambert Edwards, making the point that Democratic supporters are overcompensating with rallies and rhetoric in Lansing in 2011 because Democrats lack because the Democrats lack a vote in 2010 meant Republicans took power. Interesting. Kyle Malins on the other end of our McLaren Health Plan phone line. What made you put that up, Kyle?
Well, I thought that she brought up a real good point that I think needs to be kept in perspective. You know, it seems like we're reading almost every day about another state representative or another state senator who has had recall petition language filed against him or her. And, you know, I think it's important to realize that the Republicans are advancing the policies that they are right now because they feel like they received a mandate from voters that they put them into office to do certain things, cut spending, cut benefits given to state employees, public employees, streamlined government. So that's what they feel like they're doing right now. And, you know, I know the Democrats don't like it and their supporters don't like it, but they have to remember that, you know, when you don't vote in an election, you know, your person isn't going to win. I mean, it's just as simple as that. And so the Republicans are just doing what you would expect them to do. They have control of the state house. They have control of the state senate. They got the governor's office, and they have control of the Supreme Court. I mean, they can do whatever they want for these next 2 years as a policy initiative goes, and the Democrats really don't have anyone to blame but themselves.
Kyle, I'm surprised I didn't see you up on the Island for the Policy conference. Is there a reason you stayed away?
Oh, it's just purely, it's actually more personal than anything.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, My boss, the publisher John Ruhring, goes up there every year, and it's a possibility that I could go up there. But you know, the Republicans have their policy or their political conference in the fall, and kind of to spread the wealth around, I like to go to that one instead. There's going to likely be some presidential hopefuls up at the island in the fall, and I kind of like to experience that a little more than the policy conference. Not that the policy conference isn't a great event, but we just try and spread the wealth around a little bit.
So the Republicans and the Democrats will have events?
No, just the Republicans. The Republicans put on an event every 2 years up at Mackinac Island in late September. It's always in the off year, not in the election year. And it's just kind of an event to kind of rally themselves up, wake them up a little bit, let them know that there's going to be an election the next year, and give kind of give the base activists an idea about who's going to be running for, let's say, president if it's going to be a presidential year, or governor if it's going to be a governor or a gubernatorial year. Back in, it's going to be 2 years now. In 2009, we had Rick Snyder up there and Mike Cox and Mike Bouchard and Pete Hoekstra, Tom George. They were all running for governor at the time. And, you know, they all had their little dinners and their fundraisers and, you know, their supporters all running around with their shirts and giving out. I think Mike Cox gave out fleeces, and Snyder had everyone wearing this very weird fluorescent yellow. And it's just kind of a fun rallying event. And this year, I think we're going to see some presidential candidates. Mitt Romney is probably a lock solid guarantee that he'll be up there. He's always showing up to that one. He's been up there twice before. I wouldn't be surprised if we see others too. Tim Pawlenty will probably be up there. I think in 2007, the last time we had it, I think there were 9 presidential candidates at the time, and I think all but 2 or 3 were there.
Who puts that on? Who's the host?
Oh, it's the Michigan Republican Party.
Before we dive into some topics, I want to give you a time to get on your stump and pat yourself on the back as Merz and Skubik were top of class in Capitol reporting. Talk about that.
Well, you know, Merz does every 2 years we do a survey of political insiders with Epic MRA. We send out about 1,000 surveys to lobbyists, association folks, lawmakers, State Department officials, and PR people, folks who are dialed into state government. And among the questions we ask them are, who is the best or the most effective lobbyist in town for multi-clients? Who is the most effective single-issue lobbyist? Who is the best public relations or most effective public relations person? Who is the most effective journalist? And who does the best job covering the Capitol? And this year, the survey came back, and it was very similar to the survey we did in 2009, which showed that over 60% of those people that were surveyed and those respondents were sent to Epic MRA and not us. So this isn't like the fix is in or anything like that. 60% said MERS does the best job covering the Capitol. And the closest competitor had 20-some percent. And then we asked who is the most effective journalist, Tim Skubick, who writes for MERS and several other outlets and does obviously Off the Record and Channel 2 in Detroit, among other things. He was voted the most effective journalist with 32%. And then I was fortunate enough to get 17% and finish in second.
All right, well, finishing behind Skubick's a good thing. We won't tell him that, though.
Well, you know, he's got about 30 years on me, so I figure that's, you know, if I'm going to finish behind someone, that's just fine with me.
All right, John Stryker has a political action committee that raised a lot of money. What happened?
Well, you know, the Citizens United lawsuit of a couple years ago is what happened. You know, we have that lawsuit that allowed corporations to give to actual political campaigns. And we're also seeing an environment here, and I'll just back up here and kind of educate the readers. John Stryker is the heir to the Stryker Medical Supply fortune in Kalamazoo, and back in 2006, he opened up a political action committee called Coalition for Progress, and he dumped about $5.4 million of his own money into this political action committee. Now, for state politics, that's an enormous sum. That is more than any political action committee had raised in Michigan history up to that point. And usually, these political action committees that are the largest are from the party caucuses, the Senate Republican caucus or the House Democratic caucus. They're the ones who usually raise about $3, maybe $4 million during a campaign cycle. So when Stryker put in $5.4 million of his own money into Coalition for Progress, the Republicans kind of recoiled and thought, oh, my goodness, you know, they got some rich guy, you know, kind of like a George Soros type, you know, something like that. And he, you know, and obviously Democrats were very successful in 06. And Stryker kept Coalition for Progress going in 2008, put another close to $5 million of his own money into it. Again, the Democrats were successful. And then in 2010, he scaled back. He only put in 1.5 or something, and the Democrats weren't successful. You know, obviously it wasn't a good political year for them. And so we saw him scaling back. Well, now we've learned that Coalition for Progress is dead. Stryker, in a statement that he released yesterday to me, told me that he is going to continue to give money. Now, so why did he shut down Coalition for Progress? Well, the reason is because the atmosphere, the political atmosphere as far as donors is changing very rapidly. With this Supreme Court decision that allows corporations to give directly to campaigns, and because of the proliferation of these, like, side secret groups, there's just a completely different atmosphere as far as where donors are going to be coming from.
All right, Kyle, I've got a couple of quick questions. Let's see if we can get them in. First of all, the State Officers Compensation Commission suggests that we raise the pay for Supreme Court justices, but the House says no way.
Yeah, you know, and this kind of came right out of the clear blue sky. I mean, we didn't even know the State Officers Compensation Committee was even meeting, let alone, you know, making recommendations to be giving judges raises. And this is, you know, very, very unusual to see something like this. And, you know, the actual Supreme Court did not want this at all. They said, hey, listen, we are not interested at all in giving raises to anybody. So, you know, the House said they're not going to give raises. So even though the State Officers Compensation Committee wants 6% raises over the next, 3-4 years, they're not going to get it.